to what extent do diasporas import conflict from home to host countries? Specifically, do these groups threaten security and stability in countries of settlement?
This can be the case, actually. But I think that, I will say this, conflicts that exist and tensions that exist within the home country are often reproduced in the diaspora. It's not always the case, though. But they can be reproduced, and they often are reproduced. Sometimes we see that members of diaspora communities, diaspora groups, provide funding, financial assistance, to insurgent groups in the home region or in the home country. Other members of the diaspora within the same country of settlement might not support those kinds of approaches, and that creates conflict within the between the communities within the countries of settlement. We can also see it to be the case that, you know, there's disagreement within the literature on whether diasporas generate or whether they reinforce conflicts in their countries of settlement or in the host countries even also. And, you know, one perspective argues that they do because they bring conflict with them. You know, individuals don't travel alone. They bring ideologies. They bring weapons. And unwittingly, you know, they also can bring disease. So that's another sort of securitization of diasporas. But I tend to agree with the perspective that diasporas do not cause conflict, nor do they sustain conflict. I think that groups presenting themselves as if they speak for the diaspora are those that create or sustain conflict. And I think policymakers have to make a distinction between generalizing entire communities and instead of focusing on specific political organizations that are those that are fanning the flames of conflict.
How would you say that the processes, various processes, affect diaspora relations with the state, the notions of belonging, and trajectories associated with state policy when it comes to securing diaspora communities?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, in terms of this securitization of diaspora communities, I think that those processes, those state approaches, you know, in terms of identifying certain communities as being threats to physical security, to human security, you know, to food security, what have you, this can really adversely affect notions of belonging on the part of those who comprise those diaspora communities, particularly the second and third generation members of the communities. I think it also affects trust, levels of trust between the diaspora communities and state governments. It could also be the case that these securitization processes actually facilitate radicalization of members of particularly the third generation in these communities, which is why, as I mentioned earlier, host governments have to take particular care in ensuring that the policies they pursue don't push these individuals towards alternative structures of representation that might be more radical and whose interests are actually counter to those of the state.
Octavius, it's been a pleasure. Do you have any final words you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to share a few of my thoughts on these important issues. And I would encourage the listeners to continue to follow the Native Association and the resources that are available on its website in sort of raising awareness about the challenges, the threats that exist to the Alliance and its member states, but also how those member states can pursue policies to provide for better security.
And I certainly want to thank you again for doing both interviews with me today. I know you'll be attending a conference tomorrow. You'll be the main speaker at this conference, and this will be held here at the NATO Association of Canada. Are there any main points you'd like to address pertaining to the conference that will be held tomorrow here?
Well, for that, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, we all are.
I think that I'll speak a bit about how securitization of diaspora communities in Europe by particular governments in Europe has affected transatlantic security. Because we know that we're all linked. Europe's security is linked to American security. By American, I mean Canadian and the security of the United States. And so I'll emphasize in that talk the need to, some of the things I mentioned earlier, the need to pursue policies that balance providing for security while at the same time providing for opportunities for those within marginalized communities to feel as though they actually belong, and that they have a chance of developing a stronger relationship with the state and with society in their own countries, because these are members of diasporas, they haven't moved there. So I'll talk about that, and I think hopefully it will generate lots of good questions and a robust debate in that context.
I'm certainly looking forward to that. Octavius, thank you so much.
Thank you, Magdalene.